have to be on top of your game every game.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready?
We're not talking softball?
We can.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay, let me go live here. Try something a little different tonight. We have a split screen tonight, so. Okay, it is June 22nd. This is the Columbia City Common Council meeting. It is June 22nd, 2021 at 6:02 p.m. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigel.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Reffitt, absent. Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from the May 25th meeting. Were there any changes or corrections? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motioned by Jennifer, seconded by Tad for the discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. Tad, Jennifer, and Walt approve.
I abstain.
And Dan abstains. Because of attendance tonight, we will not be able to take on the June 8th minutes till the next meeting. So we will table those. Okay, next up in the agenda is the Casey Jones hearing on not being in substantial compliance. So I see Keith here. Come on up. So what we will do in this setting is, is this officially a public hearing?
Well,
or is it just
hearing?
Hearing. Okay. So effectively, as you probably know, at the, what's the 14th meeting on the 14th? I'm reading your notes here.
Yes.
On the 14th, after looking at the documents, the council determined that you were not in compliance with the abatement, and so this is your opportunity to kind of talk to them, answer questions, and go from there.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, first, everybody knows what's going on: job market, economy itself, chip shortage, everything's kind of in flux. We are trying to bring in laborers; they're just not coming in. We put in some incentives, referral bonuses. We've actually even changed our attendance program due to us knowing the hardship on families at the moment. So we've even kind of redone that. We are just not getting the employees. We've reached out pretty much everywhere. We're doing the social media stuff, temp agencies. But the temp agencies aren't even receiving people. So we are doing the best that we can to fill those. I mean, we have the work and the positions available. I just need the laborers. And we just cannot seem to get them.
So in the document, I know one of the things that was a challenge to your point was it looks like you're about 20 people down from what you estimated. Overall, the manufacturing equipment cost was also down about $400,000 compared to what was estimated. But we also know that, you know, when this abatement came up, I think, unless I'm forgetting here, I think when this abatement came up shortly after you had the fire, and so that, I know, caused some other issues and stuff. But would you say then that there is, I mean, is there 20 jobs that are unfilled? Is there 5 jobs that are unfilled? Is there...
There's every 15 or 20 jobs.
Okay. So if those numbers were added to this, you guys would probably be near... I mean, you'd definitely be near the actual number. I don't know about the salaries-wise, but still.
Yes.
Okay. Council, obviously,
yeah.
This is your call, so...
No, I just had a question. Yeah. So you have, the work there to do.
Correct.
You're not finding employees... So what type of time frame are you getting a feel for, like, when you think that might start to turn around? And I'm familiar with the market, too, as we hire and try and find people, too. So I'm familiar with that.
One, I think the unemployment benefit ends in September. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that encourages people. I know they've changed something
Sure. No, I understand.
And there's only so high you can go on your salaries before you're upside down.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the council?
Yeah, again, I think right now just knowing the challenges, which is no different than anybody else's challenges that you shared with us, that gives us a more insight of what's going on. Not that we don't care to run your business, but at least we know it. When we give a tax abatement, we know that, you know, we take it very seriously as anybody else. And that's where I was coming from, is what's holding you up, and you just shared that with us. I appreciate that definition of how it's impacting your business. So I don't know what else. I'm sure there's a lot of other agencies that are trying to help subsidize, but that only goes so far.
Right.
And so I guess, you know, how can we help you? Have you run around the clock? Or just
there? Yeah, we run around the clock.
Okay.
And actually, due to the lack of employees, we're running 6 days a week.
Mm.
So, I don't get into seven.
I'm sure.
I think the thing that I would want to say is that we're not critical of the shortage necessarily of employees, and especially in the current environment. But it is important when there's questions about this that there be somebody here to answer our questions, because in the lack of information, especially when we take this probably more seriously than any other administration has with handing out abatements, we want to have somebody answer those questions. And if it's not important enough for somebody to come and answer those questions, then we think, well, maybe they don't want this. It just seems surprisingly hard to get people to come and talk to us about it. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand it.
It's the same show everybody else is going
through. Anything else from Keith? Or?
No, thanks for sharing that. I mean, I'll reiterate what Jennifer said. I mean, now that we know, and also what Walt said, now that we know what is causing the shortfalls, that really helps us to understand it better. And so thank you for sharing that with us.
I mean, it's kind of an opportunity every year for businesses that are getting abatements to come in and talk about that, and maybe somebody will see the coverage on Facebook or see the articles in the newspaper and, oh, I want to go work there, you know, once they've heard you're a real person who has something to say from this business. So.
Keith, what's your, for that point, well, I mean, if someone walked off the street, came to your place with zero plating experience, and said, hey, I need a job, where would they start? Kind of what kind of opportunities do you have? Because, I mean, if someone happens to be watching, and they're saying, hey, there's an opportunity maybe.
It's a production environment. Use my old saying, the more you know, the more impact.
Sure.
So, plenty of room for advancement. Referral bonuses, like I said, if you've got a buddy, we'll pay you money right after the first 30 days.
Yeah.
Another installment after 60, another installment after 90.
If they stick around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Do you have an HR office there at your?
Yes. We do everything right there on site.
Okay. So somebody can walk in and talk to them?
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Keith. So,
thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
That's right. So, on the Casey Jones plating compliance with statement of benefits, obviously we've just had the hearing. I can take a motion of some sort to approve or continue the, I guess, the denial, if you will. But it's up to the council to make that determination.
So, if we just, this may not be the right word, but if we table it and reevaluate it at the end of the year, I mean, how, I guess I'm looking for some direction.
So effectively, the process is obviously since you denied it the first time, the company has the opportunity to appeal it, which has just happened. And then I believe, if I'm reading this correctly, then you have to take it back under advisement to either approve it or deny it. Now, certainly, if you approve it, you're approving an additional year of payment. This one is, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's a 2015, so this would be year six or year five?
It expires in 25. But if you table it, though, you lose their abatement for the year.
I'm sorry?
If you table it until the end of the year, they lose their abatement.
Yes. So either approve
would
or
probably
deny
hurt
it
more.
Well, and again, as you shared with us, you don't have a line outside your door waiting to get in. And that's a certain skill set that people want to work in that environment. And I think that might be some of the challenges today, because not everybody wants to do that as an occupation. So I'm willing to work with you saying, I recommend we approve it and then reevaluate it, come up the next time, probably next year.
And I think obviously it'd be beneficial probably to have you at that. If and when that happens.
I was going to ask us if it's okay with you if I come back in 3 months and we discuss it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Just contact Rosie and put on the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, I think any information that we receive is beneficial to help us understand what you're going through and what your company's, trying to, make it through and bring people into the fold. And, again, if there's things that we can offer, or even just the publicity of, that you're looking for people, I think that's beneficial. So I would agree with Walt that, that we would find them in compliance. And I can make a motion for that. I move that we find them in compliance for another year for their tax abatement.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Tad, second by Jennifer, to find Casey Jones Plating in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement. Further discussion or question?
My only comment is I'd wait more than 3 months because that's September when the
market was off. You may want to wait until October.
Good point, right? Very astute.
And then when this comes around next year, if there's still a gap there, just make sure you're here when it's being heard again.
And you should be contacted,
I think Dale usually does that. Dale Book. No, you weren't?
No. Rosie was the first one that contacted me.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think we were going to quit doing that because people just tired of babysitting.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Whenever your document gets turned in, let's say it that way, that's probably a good
one. Yeah, I think he's pretty good about getting it turned in. So.
Okay. So I have a motion, second. Any further discussions? All those in favor of finding Casey Jones Plating in compliance and granted an additional year of abatement, signified by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
I'll
let you fill out the rest and get your signature, though. So.
Thank you.
And that's it for that, right? Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Okay, next up is the job description amendments. So Chip is here, and I'll let him kind of tell you what they're planning and thinking about and doing.
What we have is our GIS is out to MSF. Terry is over top of him. It's his current employer. I feel like I'm out there with him daily and can give him more guidance as day-to-day what he needs to do. And so Terry and I kind of talked about it, and we brought it to the mayor that we would like to have him transferred under me. I work with the utilities more, can kind of have a pulse of what the utilities need, and just can give them day-to-day guidance. So we brought it to the mayor, and that's the request that, Beth and Terry and I worked up together. So it's just more of him having a on-site boss, I guess, is instead of Terry that's up in City Hall kind of doing it that way.
Who does Terry report to currently?
So effectively, it as we kind of looked at it, obviously Terry is handling all the IT stuff here, but with GIS, going through multiple utilities and doing all that stuff, it just, and honestly, if you think back, we actually originally had GIS, I think, well, originally I think it was under electric, and then we moved it under community development.
So under Jeff.
And then we moved it out from Jeff underneath Terry because of the IT director position. But then in practice, we've realized that it probably makes more sense under community development. So I hate that he keeps skipping around. To be fair, I think he's only skipped around twice. Cody has only skipped around twice.
Has he?
So I'm not sure. Well, maybe only once.
No, I think only once. I think it's only been under Terry.
For Cody, but still.
Well, actually, I have an understanding of what GIS does.
Yeah.
This is probably the best move because Cody's got the GIS position does work under all the departments. Whether it's water, sewer, electric, street, I mean, the whole nine yards is ran out there. And Terry really doesn't, I mean, he's the IT guy, but he doesn't have an understanding about what all those other departments do.
Mm-hmm.
And having Chip out there watching over him and trying to delegate different jobs, because he's going to hear it from a little bit of everybody, plus him.
True.
but he does some research and analysis with the GIS. So I know I work with the GIS department too. We're transferring some our parcel data and other data, so we kind of work together a little bit there. And so we trade data back and forth, so it doesn't cost us anything. So either way, so it's kind of a,
you know, when you take a step back and look where this started. I mean, it started several years ago, but it was a one-man person, or it was a one-man person with third-party help. And I think, I'll say 10 years ago, and I could be wrong, but I'm just saying, we really anticipated that we would be in this position someday, because we don't want to put all our eggs in one basket. We're not getting any younger. Education's changing, the design work's changing. So I think what we're doing today, we're reaping the rewards of our investment from 10 years ago. So there's a lot of things in here that we're going to probably talk about even more. But I think the time's come, you know, and all department heads have said that. You know, we've added in all the different departments. But we're growing, you know, we're a city of technology. And we need that technology to help us keep our city vibrant.
Yeah, I just think it's more of a cohesiveness, you know, having him, me being out there and with him. I mean, you know, and the great thing, all of us department heads have a great, you know, communication between us. So, you know, I said the budget, you know, we can figure that out. And so it's just me being there with him. I mean, he's a millennial, a great kid, but he's a millennial, you know, and he kind of, he needs somebody there beside him. So I don't want the more responsibility. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. There's no ego that I want another employee. I kind of like it. You know, but.
Well, it's up to him to accept the responsibilities and understand what each of the department needs are. And there's obviously, in my opinion, I know he can stay busy.
Yeah.
Trying to manage all three or four of the departments that. I know that is a full-time position. You can make it that. I know we do two different types of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's with utilities, I'm more with the county mapping.
Yep.
And all that, and the sheriff, and well, just like he's working with the dispatch also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yep.
So that's a really big deal, trying to get Spillman to work. And a four-letter word in my opinion. But yeah, so there's a lot of responsibility that the GIS guy has and should accept that responsibility.
I have a question on this. Maybe I'm reading this incorrectly.
Okay.
On page 19, under, it's page 2 of the IT director.
Okay.
It says position supervised GIS coordinator. Is that the old version, or did it just get missed, or does that maybe striped from that, or?
Yeah, that obviously got missed.
Okay.
So yes, that needs to be striked.
Okay.
Page 19 of the packet. Right here.
Good guy.
Yes.
Blinds for a blind tonight.
Good luck. Good luck. Yeah, it was stricken earlier, but, and we'll get to the IT assistant part here in a moment, but any other concerns, questions about the position description change for the community development director?
The investment, obviously, versus high, you know, subbing this out to contractors, I mean, is it a balance? Is the cost, I'm assuming it's costing us more by far to bring in a contractor to try to replace it, and then we risk the knowledge of it going away because there's no guarantee a sub's going to, well, there's no guarantee on anything, but I think if I know I'm a full-time employee, I'm going to put more heart into it.
Well, I think, too, this morning it was brought up, street department need the map ASAP. And, you know, and having somebody right there, he could create that map. And, it, you know, where if we sub it out, we're not getting that map until, you know, who knows when or whatever, you know. And so I think it's a benefit having him there a daily basis. And, I mean, he's been assisting a lot with the U.S. 30 routes. And, you know, he's been staying busy. And it's just nice having him there just to walk down his office and, hey, can you get this for me or can you do that? So...
In some ways, this has kind of already been occurring because they're three offices away from each other, but but still, this kind of makes it more official and creates that clear delineation, if you will. So, any other questions? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the Community Development Director position description?
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you. Next up is the IT assistant. So, I will tell you, one of the things that Terry and I have been talking about pretty regularly now is what happens if Terry walks out of here and gets hit by a bus. Then what? Now, of course, we're not planning that, and we're hopeful that doesn't ever happen. Praying that doesn't happen. But at the end of the day, there's no redundancy. There's nobody that knows what Terry knows about our IT system. Top to bottom, and there's literally nobody else working on it in the majority of his capacity. So we've been talking about ways in which we can build in some redundancy, take some of the workload that he's had kind of off of him a little bit. I will tell you consistently his timesheets are significantly over 80 hours for a timesheet. And so one of the things we've been talking about for next year's budget, which you'll find out about as we come to there, but felt like this was a good time as we were looking at the totality of these position descriptions to bring this up, is the idea of an IT assistant, probably 20 hours a week, something like that. But this would be able to do the odds and ends jobs, be able to offset and to really soak up Terry's knowledge to create that redundancy, even if it doesn't end up being something in the long run where we end up having another IT director, another IT position. Which is really not what we're looking at. We're not looking toward a full-time position. This is not a stepping stone to that. This really just creates some redundancy and creates that ability for Terry to diversify his work a little bit more among multiple people. So, again, the point of this position is not to create another position for this year's budget. We've not budgeted for this, but it is to budget for next year. But we thought as we're redoing the IT director's position, why not just go ahead and push that, put it in and stuff.
Yeah. My first thought is trying to find somebody to do this 20 hours is going to be really difficult.
I'm wondering about that.
I think, you know, with the technology that this city's got right now and looking over the whole thing, it really might not hurt to look at somebody for a full-time spot on that. So that way,
it takes years.
Yeah, because it's just like our system over there. You know, it's just, I mean, it's huge. And same with ours now is huge with the different buildings and how this is all working. I think it's going to be really difficult to find a quality person for 20 hours. I just think we need to really try to figure out a possibility of a full-time position. I get it. I understand the savings of the cost, but because of the quality.
Maybe they could spend 20 hours doing something else in the city if the feeling is that you only need 20 there. Maybe there's 20.
And I think that's a really good point, Jennifer. I mean, at the end of the day, I think because we've not had this position before, we want to kind of ease into it. Specifically, obviously, from a budgetary perspective, we want to kind of ease into it. And, you know, again, I think once we jump into it, we may find we need more. Right now I'm just going off of what Terry says, and he thinks, you know, 20. Now, granted, we may not be able to find somebody for 20 hours, and we may have to come back to the drawing board, but I'm just going off of what Terry's asked, if you will.
I know what the county's going through, trying to consider if we went with the company we have versus get somebody or two people or whatever. You're right, maybe we could ease into that, but I just think we're going to struggle finding somebody for the cost, because those guys are expensive.
Sure.
You know, I'm just throwing a number out there. We'll probably, if we hire somebody full time, we're looking probably better than maybe 95,000.
We don't even pay our department heads $95,000. But with benefits. I hear you. With benefits, yeah.
With benefits.
Yeah.
Don't pay me in that corner, Dad.
Because you can't decide, say, oh, we're going to hire the guy for 50.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, by the way, we got this.
And you're right. I mean, typically, correct me if I'm wrong, Rosie, but basically for when we include benefits, it's almost double the salary, right?
Yeah.
Give or take. So
that's where I'm just going with that. That's where we got a budget.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and again, we don't want to know what we don't know, right? And
right.
So one of the things that we've really talked, Terry and I have been talking about for, you know, at least a year and a half now, is how do we diversify the work, and how do we ensure that there is redundancy if, God forbid, something happens? We've talked about that with all the department heads. How do we create redundancy to ensure that if two of our department heads are going to a conference together and something tragic happens, how do we ensure that life continues to go on, that the knowledge they have continues to be passed down? And it's very much, I think we very much changed the perspective from what it used to be, which was, I have the knowledge, therefore I have the power, therefore I'm going to keep it, versus the, we need to ensure that there is redundancy plans and that people are passing information down. So it's not a scenario of, you know, guy number one says, well, I know the electric line runs here and then over there, and it's up here, and I'm not going to put it on a map. Where we've really started to push Cody to start doing some of that mapping to that point, not to go back to the GIS coordinator, but that's a good example of, you know, knowledge of power, right? Well, sometimes it's unwielded power.
There are so many subcategories of IT. I mean, you can have a title, but it may not be what you really end up doing 100%.
Sure.
You know, look at the Homeland Security, look at the security of our network, look at the hackers, look at the
sure.
things that, you know, that could put to your knees, you know. If a hacker got in, Terry's done a great job, and he's done his homework, and he still continues, but just at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so maybe as he's cross-training this other individual, that individual may bring some other background in regards to our security of the system.
Absolutely. And keep in mind, here's the other thing. This tells you kind of where we've been and where we're going. When I took over in 2012, Terry was the IS director, and he was over dispatch. And while he was doing some of the things that he's doing now, it was not his full-time duty, if you will. And here we are 10 years later, basically almost 10 years later, and he is completely doing absolutely different things than he was at that time. And he is running major systems and worrying about servers and how we're connecting fiber and all. I mean, it is completely changed within the last decade, and I anticipate it will continue to change as time moves forward.
Well, off point, you know, you got that type, but you also got software updates.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that software operate?
Yeah.
You know, if you go to 365, okay, what difference is, okay, who teaches you how to operate
yes.
that system?
Yep.
Okay, is it IT? Well, IT operate does all the networking.
Yep.
Well, does IT also educate you on how to operate the new update?
The answer is yes.
So that's what I'm saying. Is
yes.
At what point, though,
yes.
there's so many diversified, it just
mm-hmm.
explodes
mm-hmm.
into different areas for IT.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it would really be beneficial, absolutely, to have somebody else
sure.
helping.
And again, I don't anticipate that this person would come on until next year, again, assuming that the council would approve that in the budget. But I did want to at least bring it up for conversation. And if you feel comfortable with putting the position, again, keep in mind there's not officially a position. It's not been budgeted for. So even if you approve it today, it still won't be approved, you know, to move forward until next
right.
year. But But I thought, again, bring it in front of you and get your opinions and thoughts. And if you're okay with moving forward, I'd like a motion. And if not, if you want to sit on it and think about it, that's perfectly fine as well.
I'm okay moving forward. I always move forward without thinking of a setback too late.
I think it's probably okay to move forward. It just, you know, you're not really making a decision yet. And
right.
Think outside the box as far as those other 20 hours.
Sure. And if you did a little comparative analysis, you'll see that basically the skills and abilities of the IT director are basically on the assistant too. So it says assist in a lot of places, right? But in general, they're, you know, and it may be a challenge to find somebody. We did want to kind of slow walk it just to see how things went and whether it works, and if it doesn't, then certainly we can come back and figure out what's next. But I appreciate that. Okay, so with that, can I have a motion to approve the position description for the IT assistant?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Tad. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is the IT director. Again, it really just changes those two things where overseeing GIS coordinators has been stricken. And then oversees the IT assistant, and we will change that. Rosie's already changed the position, supervised from GIS coordinator to IT assistant, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, any questions about the IT director position description?
Just a question.
Sure.
I'm not sure if this is the right spot.
Okay.
The communication on phone system, SCADA.
SCADA. Mm-hmm.
That still stays under the police.
That's still another GIS coordinator.
I mean,
so
I'm just clarifying, mm-hmm. Find the not really the title, but just a functionality of who has the accountability.
Yeah, I would say yes, in a lot of ways.
Like that.
I mean, you know, they work obviously with the IT director on how those SCADA systems working and where the radio frequency is and how they have the towers and all that stuff. So. It's kind of in that middle ground. It's not explicitly Terry handles all of the SCADA system, but it's not that the department heads do as well. It's kind of a partnership in that regard. So, and same thing with police in a lot of ways. He goes in and helps install and do that kind of stuff too. So, any other questions I can try to answer? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the position description for IT director with the noted changes?
Second.
Motion by Ted, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. And then again, the last thing here is the GIS coordinator. And again, that's just changing where people report to and all that kind of good stuff. Any questions regarding that? Okay. Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the GIS coordinator position description?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Okay. Up to the top here. There is an employee policy change that's toward the end of your packet here. That is a change based on legislative changes this year. And so, Marsha, I don't know, did Beth work with you on this?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
I haven't seen you.
Okay. So Beth put this together. Basically, what they've changed is we can't explicitly weed out in our job process, if you will. We cannot exclude individuals that do not reside within Whitley County, meaning that if someone lives...
I'm sorry. I did. Okay.
So
that was her. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
No, that's
sorry.
Okay. Do you want to explain it? Because I'm probably going to do a really poor job. Okay. So long story short is that the legislature, hearing from at least some communities, that they are having trouble finding police officers and firefighters that live within their county or within a... I don't know if it's within the adjacent county or something to that effect. And so this policy, so basically they passed a law that said you can live within, you remember what it is?
Well, it's not that.
Oh, it's not that one?
No.
I'm sorry.
No. It's not within an area anymore.
Oh, that's okay.
Respond
it's,
within 15 minutes.
Yeah, so it's a response. It's
definitely.
A,
it'd
it's
be on
a,
site in 30.
It's it. Well, the issue is have adequate means of transportation. This is where the law changed. Have adequate means of transportation to the city and maintain telephone service. The 15 minutes was added in, but the new law is that number one, just so you know.
So you don't have to live 15 minutes away, but you better get here in 15 minutes?
Can that cause
a problem? Well, yeah. How about respond in 15, you got to be on site in 30.
Yeah.
So you have to respond in 30, or you have to actually be here in 30. But just being very frank, I fought this legislation because I thought it was idiotic.
It's pretty idiotic.
It is idiotic, but I recognize there's other communities across the state that may have trouble hiring, and I'm fine with that, but to say that we can't create basically a barrier that says if you live in LaPorte County, you can't be a firefighter for us because you can't come to any of our fires, except for when you're on duty, we can't do that anymore. So, and I just pick on LaPorte County, but point of the matter is we've tried to address the legal change in this policy, to ensure that we are legal in the way in which we're doing things. And I'll leave it at that. So, questions on this policy?
So
we want to ensure that we follow the legislation.
So this is being handed down from...
So
this is big government.
Okay.
This is big government telling us what we can and can't do.
You have to at least approve the number one, and then Beth sort of added that number five.
And this has been the topic off and on for a long time.
Sure.
I mean, I think we even tried to do it within our own jurisdiction at one point in time.
Try to keep, yeah.
Yeah, because doesn't it go back to the, maybe not for firefighters, but for police officers that have take-home vehicles?
They can go to the county line and park them.
Yeah.
They used to. I'm not
well,
sure.
We do allow them to go one county away in
mm-hmm.
certain circumstances.
Yeah.
So. But point of that to Walt's point though is, I mean, we do this. We watch the gas prices. If gas
sure.
prices get out of control, we rein them back in and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry, but if you live outside the county, you got to park them. Right? At one time when the gas prices were ridiculously high, we explicitly said to and from your home and on patrol. That is the only time you're allowed to drive those. Now we've loosened that up a little bit because we feel like having patrol cars in the community is good.
Yeah,
it's a safe thing, all that kind of stuff. We've always believed in the take-home car program. I shouldn't say always. Mostly believe in the take-home car program because having those patrol cars in the neighborhoods tends to, again, make people think a second time before they want to do something. But long story short is without getting too editorial about this, this is the big hand of the Indiana City Council telling us what we can and can't do. So,
okay.
So with that,
so we don't have
with that, on that note,
you don't have to like it, but you have to approve it.
That's exactly right, yeah. So on that rosy note, if I could have a motion to approve policy number 3.1 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's reluctantly approved unanimously of those present. Okay, let me make sure there's nothing else. Okay, and I think that's it, unless, Chip, you want to give a report?
Oh, come on, Chip.
No, thank you.
Come on, Chip. Marcia?
No, I don't have anything.
RC?
No.
A couple of things for your information. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on, as always. Haven't heard much new on US 30, so we'll keep our ear to the ground on that. I did have a conversation with SDI this morning about US 30 and some of their thoughts and concerns about that. You know, obviously, they're very supportive of the US 30 freeway concept. Just a matter of how they get cars and trucks on and off their property. That's the biggest question mark. So working with them through that. Tomorrow, I have a conversation with the Community Foundation and Mark Green regarding kind of how transition is going to happen with the Community Foundation property and parks and all that kind of stuff. Of course, the Old Settlers is going on now. As I told the Board of Works, I'll tell you. We had, a situation yesterday afternoon, evening, I believe. There were some supposedly kids of the dance company that came out of, a dance lesson or something happening at Next Level. Is it Next Level Dance? Some of the carnival workers reportedly were maybe speaking ill to them or was maybe making innuendos or things like that, inappropriate behavior, okay? So, of course, our police officer went down there, tried to check out the situation, subsequently the dance company canceled, events for this week. But I wanted to just let you all know, number one, that's happened. Number two, we're working on that throughout the police department. Obviously, having direct conversation with the carnival operator, and we certainly will be having pretty constant control or patrol of the Midway throughout this week. So I just want to make sure you know. Obviously, let the public know that we are going to be down there as always. If someone feels threatened or harassed, they need to get in contact with the police officer, or police department. Free to call us at any time, and we can go check it out. I also say it is very worthwhile that parents should be with their kids at the Midway, not just drop them off and let them go. I think that's a recipe for disaster. Personally, as a parent, I really struggle with that idea. And I know this is a fun time for lots of people. I know it is, but this is also a safety issue, and so we're trying to address it to the best of our ability. So I just want to make sure you're aware of it. So in case you read or hear anything, we are, Gary, Chief Parrott and I talked about today. He's conversing with the operator. We're trying to do everything we can. And certainly, like I said, we'll have our officers up and down that Midway very consistently over the next week. So, yes.
We try to set guidelines and rules for downtown.
Right? Sure.
Is that something that you send out to us so we have an idea what's allowed, like dogs, shirts?
Sure. Can you send them a copy of the ordinance?
Shirts are allowed.
Rosie will send out a copy of the ordinance for the special events.
Yeah, it's on the city's website, but I can copy it and send it.
Yeah.
I never even thought about going there. Sorry.
Yeah.
I can do that. It's up to you.
It's up to you guys. If you want to just pull it up.
Yeah.
Yourself or I can copy and
yeah.
send
it. I can pull it up unless you guys. I'm good.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, so no. I think it's a great point. We do have in our code of ordinances explicit to Old Settlers days. So it's very explicit about what we anticipate and what we expect down there, and that we have no problem pulling people off the Midway if they are not following those rules. And frankly, the Old Settlers Committee is very supportive of that. So I wanted to let you know that was going on. Of course, the parade is happening on Saturday. I believe it's 6 o'clock. Is that right? Old Settlers Day, past president?
I have no idea.
I believe it's 6 o'clock on Saturday.
I think she's going to be.
No, I'm not.
Oh, that's right. After your pass, you.
Grand Marshal Marshall.
She missed out her opportunity last year.
I didn't even get a postcard.
That's right.
Man, you got shortchanged.
Did you?
Postcard. We get Christy to do that. So. Anyways, obviously we have we have a lot of things going on and trying to manage all those things, and so. But the department heads, I gave them the night off because there was not much on the agenda for them. But you should have gotten a report from the majority of them either today or tomorrow. So. I think that's where we're at. Walt?
No, sir.
Dan?
Dealing with obscenities, something hanging from the inside of a door. Yeah, I got a phone call, and I haven't driven by there. I won't drive by there on the way home tonight, but could be kids. They said there could be kids. It's over.
Is this a Biden flag? Is it a Biden flag?
I don't know.
Okay. Is it on Main Street?
No, this is over by the school.
It's on Whitley.
The old school.
On Whitley Street?
Across from the park.
Oh, okay. I've missed it. So
yeah, so I'm site right there, but I'll drive by it tonight and take a look.
Is it political? Okay.
And
so,
you know, what is there any way to, in order to...
Marcia! Flag, profanity.
Freedom of speech?
There you go.
Did I get it right?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I say that, to your point, so... we had this issue on Main Street. I'm still not sure it's completely solved, but we had the issue on Main Street. I will tell you the mayor's listserv for about the last 4 months has been filled with this question, and the response continues to come back from all the city attorneys is, this is a freedom of speech issue. Yes, it's profanity. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they can, that TV censors the F word, but yet we allow flags with the F word. But consistently we're hearing back, freedom of speech, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. So while I think it's a poor representation of our community, and I think it doesn't drive home any point except for you have to use profanity to get your point across, and while I think it's demeaning to you, and not to you, but to the person who is actually flying that flag, I don't think it's making a good point. But nevertheless, they have the freedom to fly that. Am I off base, Marcia?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I think if a neighbor wants to somehow go after them for something, I have no idea what they do, but not the city.
So
we can't create an ordinance of what you can and can't do.
To police.
Can we create a lawful ordinance that allows us to prohibit that kind of profanity?
I mean, this has been all over the list, sort of like the mayor said. I mean, they're all talking about it.
Yeah. And I get it. I totally understand. I am really disappointed that those kind of flags are flying. I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian. I don't really care about that. What I care about is the profanity on the flag.
Right.
So you can say that this candidate is the best person ever that they've got, or I don't care about that. What I do care about is that, right, shouldn't have to use profanity to get your point across. So
I just wanted to.
I appreciate it, Dan. I think it's a great conversation to have because it's not the first time we've heard that issue. So,
thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Jennifer.
So, ordinance committee met today and we talked about all sorts of things involving parking on one side of the street or another, and some bottleneck areas of the community that are particularly concerning in times of emergency situations and whether or not we can get fire vehicles through things. We thought we had one solution figured out and then made a discovery that the area where we were addressing that was actually the street's 2 feet smaller in that area. And so we think we've come up with another idea. We'll get to that later. In the meantime, I have an announcement to make that is important.
Okay. Announce away.
Okay. A portion of Columbia Parkway from Shoreland Court to North Shore Court, and including North Shore Court and adjacent streets, will be one-sided parking on July 3rd, 2021, and signs will be posted.
Okay.
And that is to address space that's too small and trying to make it so that if on the day of fireworks, if we would have a house on fire, that fire vehicles can get to it and that sort of thing. So that's going to be taken care of by somebody else, but they asked me to bring it here and make the announcement.
See.
There will be signs, so you will know if you are not to park on one side or the other.
Okay. And did you say what side is going to be prohibited from parking?
I did not, and I am not sure.
Okay, gotcha.
Most part. So historically, it's been the fire hydrant side.
Yeah. That's probably
I don't remember which side that is.
Yeah.
That's good information. Okay, great. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you. As a side note to that, I was talking to Kelly earlier today, and I think going in front of you guys soon will be a question about the no parking around the former high school property between...
The hours.
Or whatever that is.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that those signs will be able to be taken down, and we'll take that from the ordinance, but just so you're aware, that is going to be coming in front of me.
All right.
We had a resident in that area that said, hey,
why are we
taking it down now?
Yeah. Make
sense. Yeah. So, great. Thank you. Ted?
I have nothing.
Okay, and we have nobody in the audience, so we will adjourn, and CIP will commence here in a little bit.